a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We will call the Ag and Natural Resource Committee to order at this time. I'd like to call the guests that are in attendance. At this time, traditionally, we would ask the pages to introduce themselves, but because we've abused them in the past, and we have no pages. So in lieu of that, we have had two interns that have served us well, and I'd like them to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about where you're attending school and what your future brings.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. My name is Clay Hoffman. I'm a senior political science major, business minor at the University of South Dakota. I'm from Winter, which is not very far from here, so come up to Pierre regularly, and I'm just honored to be on the Ag Committee with you all. I was a Farmers Union intern a couple years ago, so some of these issues I recognize from when I interned there a couple years ago. So thanks again.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question of the intern. Is that okay?
That would be fine. In fact, several questions would be fine.
Well, Clay, I was just wondering, what kind of a job are you going to give with a political science degree? This is a chance for you to shine. Come on, buddy. Don't let me down.
I was thinking Starbucks barista. Does that answer your question, Senator?
Okay.
I love it. Chairman, he got me.
I want to thank you for leaving Senator Rampelberg speechless for a moment.
Sure. You're very welcome, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Rampelberg.
I also go to USD with my esteemed colleague, and I also major in political science and minor in communications.
Name?
My name's Chad Peterson. I go to the University of South Dakota. I'm from Wakanda, grew up on a farm. We have cattle and all sorts of crops, it seems, and I guess honored to be here serving, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to caution Senator Rampelberg for embarrassing any of these young men, because they might hold sway over you sometime in the future.
Yeah, that's true.
At this time, I'd like to remind folks to turn their cell phones off. It's been a ruling of the chair that anyone that violates that would have the privilege of providing jerky for the next committee meeting. At this time, I'd like the secretary to call the roll to establish quorum.
The following senators: Ewing,
here;
Fergs,
here;
Jensen, Peterson, Rampelberg,
here;
Rush,
here;
Valley, Olson,
here;
Kamak,
here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum. At this time, I'd like someone to bring a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
So, second.
Moved by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Rush. We would also like to remind folks that if you plan on testifying in front of this committee, we ask you to sign in and make sure that you sign in legibly so that it makes our secretary's job a little bit easier. And any materials that are to be distributed, we're going to make a ruling that the interns will help distribute the any materials that we need to get to the committee. And any questions that are to be asked will be addressed through the chair. At this time, we'll begin the consideration of the bills. The first bill that we have up is a bill, House Bill 1146, and it's an act to limit who may request to see a person's hunting or fishing license. Proponents at this time.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of this distinguished committee. It's a privilege to, as Bill Van Gerpen, a state senator from District 19, to have this opportunity to speak with you and bring before you House Bill number 1146. I want to commend Representative Qualm for identifying this flaw in the law. I'm not sure what drew his attention to it, but it certainly needs to have our attention today, and I would appreciate your positive response to the presentations that we make. What it does, it restricts those who may request, who may see your driver's license or who may see your ID card when you're out hunting. And so what the bill does is, as you notice there in Section 1, a licensee shall at any time upon request of any person exhibit the licensee's license. And what we want to do is restrict that to those really who have the reason and the authority to see that license. Not sure how this lasted all these years in this manner, but I suspect that years ago we all knew our neighbors and we knew those who came on our yard. I can remember when I grew up, the Watkins man made, and we knew came and we knew him, and the other guy was the seed salesman, and he'd always show up about 11:30 at noontime to get some of Mom's fried chicken. So we knew who the visitors were, who the people were. But the world has gotten much smaller. Even as you listened this past week to the reviews of the terrorist movements around our country, even the Mall of America now is under threat and more surveillance. And so these folks are out there that we don't know who they are. And yet this bill, as the law as it currently stands, would provide them to come and ask for these various, for our license. And so what the intent of the bill is to restrict it to those who have a need to know versus anyone who would come up and ask. And I ask you, there's a friendly amendment coming. I ask you to support that. And at this point, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I will turn this over to Representative Qualm.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Representative Lee Qualm from District 21. This bill was brought to my attention by a constituent who showed me the fishing handbook and said, are you aware that anybody can check anybody's license at any time they want to? And I said, oh, no, that can't be. I can't imagine that that would be in there. Well, he showed it to me, and sure enough, it was. And so I proceeded to visit with some of the people from the Game and Fish and wondering how we can rectify this. And because they had actually been looking at it also and thinking maybe there needed to be some changes made. So we made some changes to it, and we weren't quite comfortable with it. And then the stock growers came up with a great amendment that was added in the House, and there were still some issues out there that didn't necessarily address everything we needed to. There was an amendment that came in the House, but we didn't feel comfortable with it. It was too far-reaching. Well, they have come up with another amendment. Mr. Murphy has worked diligently on it, and I would consider it a friendly amendment, and I will let him detail it at this time. I would appreciate your support on the amendment and then on the bill. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association, and I have two handouts today, if I could. And I see we have one page, so I'll rely on the interns to do one, and if I could have the page do the other, sort of instigate some teamwork that way. And what... as those are being distributed, I'll describe them. One is an amendment 1146 RD in the form that it must be. The other document is how that amendment will appear in context in the bill. So to better understand what this amendment does, in the sheet with the text, you see how it will work within that second chapter of the bill. And I want to thank Representative Qualm for being so open to our suggestions on this, and I want to publicly thank you. Recognize former Representative Mark DeVries, who had a lot to do with really getting this right. And this has been, to me, a real example of how things work when they work very well here. We've all a lot of stakeholders have worked to get this right, and I think what you have in front of you gets this right. The bill in total, the stock grower support. This is really, I think, one of those unintended consequences we talk about so often. I don't think anybody intended that anybody be able to challenge anybody else to see their hunting or fishing license. We think the narrowing is good. It's, however, important to us, too, that a person on their property should be able to identify who's there and see that they're legitimate. And so that's where this second paragraph came from. The amendment we asked today, in looking at it, we saw a couple of concerns with what we had done on the House side. One is that it says any person who is hunting, fishing, or trapping shall, upon request, exhibit. There are careful definitions in law to what hunting, fishing, or trapping are, and arguably you'd have to disturb a hunt before you could ask a person for his license. So we thought we need to just broaden this a little bit so that doesn't happen. We also had cases, for instance, in Mr. DeVries' case, where on his land he has several units that intersect. And so you can be on one spot on his land and be in season and be hunting. Another spot is not in season yet, and somebody might there be scouting. And so they wouldn't qualify under hunting. He didn't have the ability to request their license. We also had one of the members of this committee related a story to me that he has a son with federal land on his property, and people go and search dinosaur bones there, crossing his property to get there. And what we came up with is what we believe is a good solution to both of these, and we would like you to add the qualification that any person who is hunting, fishing, or trapping, and then add, or is engaged in any recreational activity, that will encompass those other activities and give landowners the flexibility they need to know who's on their land. The other change that happens in this amendment, you'll see where we seek to strike under the provisions of 4191. By doing that, 4191 basically says limits legal authority to landowner or lessee. And again, we were made aware of situations where maybe a trust has a manager who's responsible for that land, who doesn't quite fit into either of those definitions. A family member might be looking after the land on behalf of the owner. So we believe it's a better approach to have this ultimately read to any person who has legal authority to control access to the private land. Again, it's a simpler statement. It's inclusive of the various situations we might run into. So I would appreciate your consideration and support of this amendment and this bill as amended, and then I will stand by for any questions the committee might have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would someone like to move the amendment 1146RD at this time?
So move.
Second. Moved by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Furix. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? If there's no further discussion on the amendment 1146RD, it's been moved by Senator Olson and seconded by Senator Furix. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The motion passes. The amendment passes. Is there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tony Life. I'm director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. As Representative Quam just told you, he came to me earlier in the session and brought to me this issue that he has formed in this bill. At the time I talked to him, my response was to go back, get together with my law enforcement administrator in our agency, and to ask him to reach out to our field staff and ask what their opinions would be of these of this potential change in statute. The feedback was all positive towards removing the requirement. You know, it is at times has been helpful to get these license identify these individuals who may have been out there through a license check that's occurred. But it's not essential to completing a successful investigation. You know, what our staff really need in these cases is a description of the individuals involved, a description of the vehicle, and most importantly, a vehicle license plate, and we can put together prosecutions from that point. Also, these days, everybody has a cell phone, and those cell phones have a feature of taking pictures these days, almost every one of them. And I've even seen situations where there's been photographic evidence taken off of a cell phone of things that help us put these cases together. You know, and although we don't discourage it, we also don't encourage anyone to utilize the provisions currently in statute because of the potential for, you know, a simple verbal altercation to escalate to some type of a physical confrontation. But we also recognize that there are times and places where there may be landowners that want to have this ability, and we want to make sure they do have that ability if they want to. Once again, not encouraging that. Necessarily allowing it so it can happen if they do wish for that to be able to make that check. You know, lastly, I think it's important to recognize that the department really appreciates the opportunity to work with Representative Quam and the stock growers in crafting this bill. I think good things come when people get together and work together on a common issue, and this is certainly a good example of that. House Bill 1146 is a good bill, and the department supports passage of the bill and the amendment that you just added to that bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Steve Nelson. I'm with the South Dakota Migratory Bird Association. We're a small group. We only have about 800 members. The one thing they have in common, they all hunt geese and hunt pheasants. We've got about probably 100 that you could consider farmers or ranchers in that field, and those are the people I talk to concerning this bill. Just about everybody before me has said what I was going to say, so I'll just make one last statement. My people feel the ability to ask for a license, and that being a misdemeanor if it isn't produced, is a deterrent in one way to some people for trespassing. And on the other hand, they feel they need to know who's on their land. And it's a good bill. It passed the House committee, I think, unanimously. It passed the House unanimously, and with these amendments, it's even a better bill, so we would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, at this time we'd ask, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 46 as amended? There are no further opponents. We will bring we'll close the public testimony at this time, and we'll bring it back to the committee for discussion and or action. I'm sorry, I've skipped. Does anyone have any questions? I'm sorry. If there are no questions, Senator Rush.
I would move it do pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Rush to do pass House Bill 1146 as amended, and it was seconded by Senator Olson. Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, the motion is do pass on Senate Bill 1146. This time we'd have the Secretary call the roll.
Senator Ewing?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Jensen? Peterson?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
It is unanimous.
Senate Bill 1146. Senate Bill 1146 passed with a unanimous vote.
I'd make a motion to add to the consent calendar.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing to add Senate Bill 1146 to the consent calendar.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Rampelberg. All those in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Senate Bill 1146 will go to the consent calendar. We're going to revert back in the order. I see that we do have some pages at this time, and I'd like to have them come forward and introduce themselves. Tell them about a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about your future.
Is the green light on?
Hello, my name is Zach Johansson. I'm from Rapid City Christian School in Rapid City.
and I plan to go down to Grand Canyon University in Arizona to become a physical therapist.
Good for you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Ethan Weinheimer from Oneida, and I plan to go to Lake Area Technical Institute for something, ag, and come back and farm.
Good morning, committee members. I am Erica Wundeny, and I plan to go into the medical field here in CUC.
Where are you from?
I'm from here, in Pierre.
Good.
Thank you. Before we move on to the second bill, I'd like to take personal privilege and introduce a couple of guests, Dan G. and Regine G. They're going to be hosting an event this evening, one of the hosts of an event this evening for South Dakota Ag and Rural Leadership. So any of the senators that are not aware of that, I think there'll be a little notification on your desk, so welcome. We will move on to House Bill 1217, and it's an act to revise certain provisions regarding the James River Water Development District.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and fellow members of the Ag Committee. My name is Jason Frerich, Senator from District 1 at Wilmot. Up there, represent Roberts, Day, Marshall, and Northern Brown counties. So, I bring House Bill 1217 surely on behalf of the Marshall County Commissioners up there. Specifically Paul Simmons and Miles Devine, who serve on the commission and have talked about this issue from time to time. And in fact, Senator Peterson was at a meeting up in the Northeast, and he had gotten a note about it, and Senator Peterson says, here, you better make sure and get this bill introduced for your people. And I says, yeah, I know, they've reminded me about it. And I said, let's get it taken care of. And so Representative Feichert was kind enough to start the bill over on the House side. But basically what House Bill 1217 will do, for the most part, is dealing with Marshall County. You'll see a document that the good folks at DENR have some awesome technology to perform some hydrologic mapping, and I'm not sure if Senator Ewing has it on the end or where, but basically it'll be coming around, and it shows how, looking at this map, there's a portion of, this is Marshall County, but there's a portion that flows to the Red Basin, there's a portion that flows to the Minnesota Basin, there's also a little bit down in the corner here that flows to the Big Sioux. And so what this bill before you will do as far as dealing with the James River Water Development District, they currently have all of Marshall County in their development district. And just for a second here to step back, so what these water development districts have as far as their abilities and duties, they basically perform some different water testing and studies and work on various issues, some conservation also in nature, and provide local funding and things like that. And so the James River Water Development District covers all the way starting up at the North Dakota line and tracks through our state, obviously, until we get down into that Yankton area. So that's the entire James River Water Development District. They're a little different, though, when we talk on water. Some of you are probably thinking, well, what did we talk about in Senate Bill 2, and what did we have back a little while ago? Well, the difference on these development districts, they're fairly limited in their powers and abilities, and very limited as far as doing any projects also. And so they're but they have served a purpose, and obviously they've been involved in, and I think some people say they date back to the days of the old Oahe project and things like that. These were kind of the transfer from that. So anyways, what the proposal here is to say, in the looking at the map, the areas that are not green the townships that don't have enough of the green, meaning the James Basin, that we would take those out. And so those townships would not be included. You'll also see, and that's in Marshall County, you'll also see in the bill, and Senator Valley asked me about a little bit last night, why there's some mention for Aurora County in here. That's sheerly cleanup language. They had voted out within their county already. But the current statute doesn't allow the Marshall County commissioners to vote out a portion. You know, when they want to keep some in, the commissioners can't just say, well, we want to vote out some of those townships. So what the bill does is put in statute the townships that should stay in, those in the green, and then take out those that do not flow to the James. You have another piece of paper here that comes from the Marshall County Auditor. So there are six townships and one city, the city of Eblen, that are proposed to be taken out, with a total, you know, as far as what dollars this would affect as far as the budgeting at the James River Water Development District. It's about $12,589 would be the assessment that, you know, would be reduced from that area. But as you can see, when they run the ledger on the right side, the current request for 2015 would be $57,757. You take out the $12,500 and you're down to about $45,000 that still would flow into the James River Water Development District out of Marshall County. The folks at the James River Development District are aware of this, obviously. They've been communicated as soon as the bill was introduced and as soon as any of this discussion was happening. It, again, strictly comes from within the folks there that are in Marshall County that say if it's going to be based on the James River Basin or the James River area, then it ought to be the land that flows to that area. There is not an alternative water development district for the Red or Minnesota. Those do not have a development district, but again, should there be something that would come along, those folks would be able to be involved in that if possible. As far as what I've heard, a little bit, some are concerned just as far as splitting up some of the funding, because this James River Water Development District does fund some local projects, but obviously the point is collect the tax dollars from where the basin originates and where it flows is why you have House Bill 1217. The last portion on the bill is consistent with what the East Dakota Water Development District has in their language, and that's the case for other areas, just to be consistent as far as saying that all municipalities that are wholly or partially within the area or that are contiguous will be included. And so that was something that has been consistent with other water development districts. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I welcome any questions as we go forward, and thank you for your consideration.
Are there any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, we'll move on to any opponents. Any opponents? At this time, we'll move on to questions of the proponents or the opponents. Does the committee have any questions? Senator Rush.
Asked Senator, and I just stay right there. How does this impact, Mr. Chairman, how does this impact Senate Bill number 2 and the districts? I mean, are these overlapping? Are these districts that will eventually disappear as a result of that? Or,
Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Senator Ferks.
And thank you for the question, Senator Rush. And certainly, as we look at things, very legitimate point, and that's these would be an example, as you know, we discussed in the debate on Senate Bill 2, these districts, these development districts, their viability in the future should the concept in Senate Bill 2 continue to proceed and we create those basin councils, these current development districts would most likely either be merged in or, you know, be dissolved in the future. I mean, nobody is denying that fact because there would be some duplication that's happening. At the same time, if there's ever, which we would envision, there would have to be taxing authority with those basin councils. We wouldn't want people to be taxed twice for similar type of districts. And so, yes, they eventually would go away, and if everything moves forward on Senate Bill 2, but in the current process, much like the county side of things, when we talk on those issues, these current development districts would stay intact and viable for now.
Senator Rush.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask another question. I see this will reduce the tax revenue by $12,000, as I understand it. What proportion of the revenue for the district, do you know what that is? Is this going to impact them significantly?
Mr. Chairman and
Senator Frank.
Yep, Senator, I don't have the exact numbers. Paul Simmons, I saw this last weekend, and he said, and I'm not going to quote the specifics, but obviously their budget is north of, you know, $1 million that they work with, because it's a big, very large district. And Marshall up there, being at the more northeast portion of that district, was a relatively small part of that. But obviously, as far as their budgeting, this is something, again, that they're aware of and be able to work through. And as far as percentage, I apologize for not having those exact numbers, but it certainly is relatively minor in nature.
Any, just a quick answer to the question, 22%.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you. It was on. Well, let's see. Removing 22% of Marshall's share.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay.
But the entire district, I don't have that.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Senator Valley.
Maybe I'm just missing something here, but I'm looking at, you got a list here of the townships and the amount of money that is taxed. Oh, now I get it. I answered my own question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Frakes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a clarification, awesome, in the days of having ability to listen online, I got a smoke signal in, as maybe Bradford would say, but I got a message that come in and says less than 2% of the entire James River Water Development District budget would be
the total budget.
Yeah,
I see.
The total budget would be less than 2%.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The 22% is just for Marshall County.
Would be within that county, yeah. Any further questions? The chair has a question. Is there a reason there's no mechanism that these adjustments couldn't be made within the county?
May Mr. Yeah. Chairman, and boy, former Senator Simmons is going to hear from me when I get back, as he didn't show up to testify in his bill, and I get all these questions. But no, he's a very respectable individual. But I would say that was something we thought about, and I thought, you know, that was the initial bill, was to say, let's just let the county be able to vote them out as far as what should be included. I guess as far as not being able to find the right type of language that would work in that fashion, we couldn't. But that was talked about. It was not ignored. Working with Mr. Ortbon at LRC, we decided, and especially working with DENR also, it was just easier to include the townships that should stay in these districts. So,
are there any further questions? If there's no further questions, we'll close public testimony, and we'll move on to committee discussion and or action. Senator Ewing.
Put motion for due pass on House Bill 1217.
And it's seconded by Senator Valley. There is a motion of due pass for Senate Bill 1217 by Senator Ewing and Senator Valley. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Former Senator Simmons did contact me about this. I was at a meeting that his senator should have been at, but he wasn't.
He wasn't in my district.
Well, anyway, this is just a group of townships that have been taxed for a number of years that are not in the James River watershed. They never should have been taxed. But according to statute, it had to be countywide, in or out. And this just lets these townships out that should never have been taxed.
Any further discussion? Senator Franks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks to the committee for knowing that we have plenty of time to work through a bill today here, and really, in all seriousness, taking the chance to learn more about this issue. I would like to thank the folks within these development districts. They have been palms up, just like myself and Senator Simmons have looked at this also, and so I want to thank those folks, you know, specifically Mr. Gilbertson and Mr. Bartels that that are in a couple of the districts. Bartels is at the James River Development District. So encourage the support for the bill, and they can vote, and that has happened. Day County was in two different ones, split the county. They voted out by a county election. So, but again, it's kind of voting everything out, not just a portion. So it can either be a local election or a county commissioner's decision.
Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, the motion is do pass on House Bill 1217. And at this time, the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Ewing?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Jensen is excused. Peterson?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Vote is unanimous.
Consent.
The vote is unanimous. It has been moved consent by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Rush. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
House Bill 1217 will move on consent calendar. Do pass. And at this time, I believe that we've completed our business. Is there any further business anyone has to bring before the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Personal privilege.
Go ahead.
He's not going to like me for this. But okay. My farmer's son is here today. I'd like to introduce to the committee Heath Peterson and his fiancée, Deanna, and my wife, Jane.
Welcome. So this is the hardworking brother. And you can tell your other brother I said that. Any further business to come before the committee? If there is none, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So move.
Moved by Senator Olson, seconded by Senator Ewing. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.